Our Father, in the name of Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear, we believe and receive the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. We thank you, Father, we'll give you praise, for we know it's done, for in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can take your seat. Hallelujah. Okay, now this year, we've been examining our responsibilities in Christ. Okay, new creation responsibilities. Now, so far, we've seen spiritual growth. We've examined backsliding, also devotion. Now, today, we want to begin a new series along the same lines. So, we want to look at the subject of fasting. Now, interestingly, we are currently fasting, right? So this would be very practical. So are you ready? All right. Now the Bible has so much to say about fasting. Fasting is an ancient discipline practiced by God's people throughout Scripture. You find that Moses, the lawgiver, fasted. David, the king, fasted. Elijah, the prophet, fasted. Esther, the queen, fasted. Daniel, a political leader in Babylon, and a seer, also fasted. Anna, the prophetess, fasted. Paul, the apostle, and even Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh. Now, the church fathers also fasted and understood its benefits. Some of them include Charles Finney, John Calvin, John Knox, John Wesley, Jonathan Edwards, John Brainerd, and Martin Luther. Okay, now fasting is not exclusive to Christianity alone. All the major religions of the world practice fasting. You find that the yogi of India practiced fasting, Y-O-G-I, okay? So did Confucius, okay? C-O-N-F-U-C-I-U-S and Zoroaster, Z-O-R-O-A-S-T-E-R. The Greek scholars Plato, Socrates, and Aristotle also fasted. Even Hippocrates, who is considered to be the father of modern medicine, believed in fasting. Now, fasting is not important simply because all major religions of the world fast or because learned persons believed in fasting. No. Fasting is important to us because God's word teaches it so. Now, you would observe that fasting was instructed in the Old Testament, Joel 2 verse 12, Joel 2:12. Now therefore says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, underline that, with fasting, with weeping and with mourning. Moses fasted for 40 days. Exodus 34 verse 28. It says, so he went there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. Underline that, 40 days, 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. Underline from he to water. And he wrote on the tablets the word of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. In 1 Samuel 7, the children of Israel fast as a sign of remorse. 1 Samuel 7 verse 6. 1 Samuel 7 6. So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water, and poured it out before the Lord. And they fasted that day. Underline that, they fasted that day. And said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. Now, similar to Moses, Elijah also fasted for 40 days. 1 Kings 19, verse 8. So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights. Underline that, 40 days and 40 nights, as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. Now, after Jonah's preaching, the people of Nineveh fast to show remorse. Jonah 3, 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, underline that, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. You find fasting in the New Testament also. Our Lord Jesus fasted for 40 days. Matthew 4, 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, underline that, from Eden night, afterward he was hungry. In Acts 13, the church at Antioch ministered to the Lord and fasted. Acts 13:2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, underline that, and fasted, The Holy Spirit said, Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Now look at all of this in depth as we proceed. Now concerning the significance of fasting, note what early church father John Chrysostom had to say. Now he says, The honor of fasting consists not in abstinence from food, but withdrawing from sinful practices. He who limits his fasting to an abstinence from meats is one who disparages it. Okay, so when it comes to fasting, the main issue isn't merely abstaining from food, okay, but abstaining to do something else. Now, bullet point here, what fasting is not. Number one, fasting is not an hunger strike, okay, whereby people steal food for political or social reasons. Now, number two, fasting is not dieting, okay, whereby people steal food for health reasons. Biblical fasting is for spiritual purposes. Now, what is fasting? Another subheading for you. What is fasting? Now, you see that many have tried to give fanciful definitions to the word fasting. Some have said that fasting is feasting with God. You know, orishi rishi. Amen. Others say that if you want your life to go fast, go on a fast. Okay, and so on and so forth. Now, all of these definitions are fanciful at best. We must draw our definitions from the word, okay, not cliches. Now, there are two main words used in the Old and New Testament for fasting. Now, the Old Testament has the Hebrew word somei, T-S-O-M, okay, used 26 times in the Old Testament portion of scripture. Now, it is derived from sum, T-S-U-M, which literally means to cover the mouth, that is, to abstain from food. Used 21 times in the Old Testament. Therefore, somei simply refers to abstaining from food, a fast. Now, the New Testament has the Greek word nestia, N-E-S-T-E-I-A, the E after N accentuated, and its verb form nestio, N-E-S-T-E-U-O, the E after N accentuated, the last O also accentuated for fast. Nestia, the noun form, was used 6 times. Okay, the verb form nestio was used 20 times. Now, both words mean the same as their Old Testament counterpart, somei. They mean to abstain from food, nestia, nestio. Okay, now not as an hunger strike, but particularly as a religious activity or exercise. Some have asked why the English language uses the word fast for abstaining from food. Okay, well, I'll tell you. Now, the word fast in the English language was gotten from the Anglo-Saxon word feist, F-A-E-S-T, which means to hold firmly, to fasten, okay, to restrain oneself from doing something, to abstain, okay, with the idea of using a rope to hold something or someone in order to prevent them from doing something. So that word is then applied to the fast. Now, same way in fasting, you fasten yourself. You follow that? From that Anglo-Saxon word, feist. Okay, you hold your appetites down. It's like you use a rope on your appetites. Do you follow that? Okay, you keep them in check. You restrain yourself from pleasures in fasting. These definitions clearly show that fasting goes beyond merely not eating, although it includes that. It also includes a state of the heart. Okay, you restrain yourself from what you like or what you're obsessed with so you can focus on spiritual things. In fasting, you present your body as a living sacrifice. Romans 12 verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Underline that. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Fasting is to discipline your body. Fasting also changes your heart. Fasting is self-denial. Okay, giving up food is an act of self-denial. Why? Because you need food to survive. So in fasting, you let go of necessaries. Okay, that is fasting. Now, the Old Testament also used another phrase to describe fasting. Okay, now it is the phrase to afflict one's soul. You find that phrase used Leviticus chapter 16, verse 29. Leviticus 16, verse 29. It says, "This shall be a statute forever for you. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls." Underline that, and do no work at all, whether a native of your own country or a stranger who dwells among you. Verse 31 of that same chapter. "It is a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, and you shall afflict your souls." Underline that, afflict your souls. It is a statute forever. Leviticus 23, verse 27. Similarly there. Leviticus 23, verse 27. "Also the tenth month of this seventh month shall be the day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls," underline that, "from you the souls, and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls," underline that, "afflict your souls. On the ninth day of the month at evening, from evening to evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath." Numbers 29 verse 7. Numbers 29 verse 7. "On the tenth day of this seventh month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall afflict your souls." Underline that, afflict your souls. "You shall not do any work." Now the phrase "afflict your souls" means to humble one's self before the Lord. Now this happens in fasting. In fasting, we develop an attitude of dependence on God. Now some have called fasting prayer with the body. I agree. Amen. Now let's see the importance of fasting. Okay, why do we need to fast? Now number one, as we have seen, fasting is a show of humility before God. Fasting helps us to learn humility. In fasting, we afflict our souls, that is, we are humble before the Lord. Leviticus 16, 29 to 31, Numbers 29, verse 7. Now, God will make you humble. Okay? God instructs you to be humble. Do you follow that? God will make you humble. So don't say, "God, please make me humble." No. God instructs you to be humble. James 4, verse 10. Okay? He says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and it will lift you up." Now, you cannot transfer this responsibility to God. Okay, so you have the task to humble yourself. Now, you do this by fasting. You see that in Psalm 35, verse 13, King David says, "I humbled myself." How? With fasting. Now, number two here, fasting helps to curb sin. In fasting, you can identify and stop yourself from doing what is destroying you. What fasting will do is to help you recognize those things you need to let go of, those sinful acts or obsessions that are slowly destroying you. So fasting changes you. Hallelujah. Okay, and then this change will affect your things in life. Okay, but the change begins with you. Now, number three, interestingly, fasting also helps to control weight. Amen. A serious issue with many today. Proverbs 23 verse 20. Proverbs 23 verse 20. It says, "Do not eat with wine bibbers or with glutinous eaters of meat." See how the Message translation puts this. Proverbs 23 verse 20 in the Message translation. It says, "Do not drink too much wine and get drunk. Don't eat too much food and get fat." Now, there is nothing wrong in wanting to feed well, okay? But once it gets to the point that you can no longer control your appetite for food, okay, you must eat or you die. You cannot fast for a month to focus on spiritual things. You must always have something. Then there is a problem, okay? You've become obsessed with food, and only deliberate fasting will deliver you. Now, number four here, fasting also helps us to discover the divine will of God. Okay, in fasting, you discover the divine will of God. Acts chapter 13, 2-3. It says, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted," underline that, "and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Then having fasted and prayed," underline that, "having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away." So in fasting, direction was received. You see that there? For ministry. Now, observe that we did not say that fasting makes God lead us. No, God always does. God always leads his children. Rather, fasting helps us discover. Do you follow that leading? Now the world is very loud. Too many voices are speaking all at once in this world, from the television to the radio to the internet, even to your friends, okay, and so on and so forth. And if you're not careful, you'll be led by the social media thinking it is God. Okay, but what fasting does is to quieten your mind, okay, so that you can hear God alone. Fasting helps to know God's plan for your life. Daniel 9:2-3. It says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that it would accomplish 70 years in the dissolutions of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting. Underline that. With fasting, sackcloth and ashes. Verses 20-22 of that same chapter. Verses 20-22. Now while I was speaking, praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering, and informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I've come forth to give you skill to understand. Underline that. To give you skill to understand. So Daniel seeks to understand, and he prays and he fasts. Okay? And in prayer and fasting, the mystery that Daniel sought for was given to him. Skill was given to him to understand. Okay? So fasting and prayer is the atmosphere of divine revelation. Did you hear that? Fasting and prayer is the atmosphere of divine revelation. They leave you better spiritually. Hallelujah. Number 5. Fasting helps us in our war against the flesh. Jesus describes the flesh as weak. Matthew 26 verse 41. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Underline that. The flesh is weak. That is, it is susceptible to temptation. Paul says it this way, Galatians 5 verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the spirit. Underline that. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. Underline that. From this to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So the flesh is struggling to rule the spirit. You must not allow it. Verses 24-25 of that same chapter. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live in the spirit, let us also walk in the spirit. Underline that. Let us also walk in the spirit, or conduct our lives in the spirit. Now the flesh is that part of man which loves to sin. Okay? The flesh is given to lust. Ephesians 2 verse 3. Ephesians 2 3. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, underline that, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. The flesh seeks to overpower us, and if we're not careful, if we do not watch it, the flesh will. Now what does fasting do? It helps to put the flesh in check. Paul talks about disciplining his body. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 27. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 27, but I discipline my body, underline that, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, underline that, bring it into subjection, lest when I've preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Now one of the ways we can do this, discipline our bodies, is through fasting. Fasting helps to curb gluttony, which is a type of lust for food. Solomon advises about food. Proverbs chapter 23 verse 2. Proverbs 23 verse 2. And put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite. The epistles warn against lust. 1 Peter 2 verse 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust. Underline that. Abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. 1 Peter 4:1-6. 1 Peter 4, 1-6. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his life in the flesh, underline that in the flesh, for the lust of man, underline that the lust of man, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, underline lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, underline that, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they may be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. Now, when we see lust, usually the first thing that comes to our minds is sex. Okay, but the word lust is a compound word, okay, for inordinate, inappropriate, and excessive desires. Now, include sex, but it is not limited to it. Okay, having an excessive love for simple things like food is also lust. Okay, once something starts to control you to the point that you can't do without it again, then it's lust. Kenneth Hagin told a story about how at some point he grew, you know, so much dependent on Coca-Cola. Okay, he always had to have Coke, okay, till it became a problem. So he deliberately stopped taking Coke completely. Okay, he had to say, nothing will have control over me. Okay, you know, if that's you, you always have to have something, then there's a problem. Okay, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Deuteronomy 8 verse 3, Matthew 4 4. So once you start valuing bread or food over the word, okay, you can't stay off food to pray or study for a few hours, then there is a problem. Okay, you must always ensure that nothing controls you. Always say that to yourself. Nothing controls me. You know, I had to take a stand several years ago. I just said, you know, for the next 2 years, I'm not going to listen to any music that is not gospel music. And I did that. Amen. Nothing controls me. Do you follow that? So for 2 years, I didn't listen to any music that wasn't gospel music. You know, for some, it's a problem. They always have to hear Burna Boy. Hallelujah. Or Ashake. Amen. I think that's a popular one now. Okay. Say nothing controls me. Hallelujah. Okay, so fasting helps us to live not according to the flesh. Okay, it fastens our lives. Remember that word fast? Okay, it fastens our lives. It puts us in check. So you must be careful of an obsession with food. Spiritual food is more important than physical. See Matthew 5 verse 6. Matthew 5 verse 6. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You see that? Not for hamburger. Not for Domino's. Amen. Not for shawarma. For what? For righteousness. Underline that. For they shall be filled. Physical food profits nothing spiritually. In John chapter 6, after Jesus fed the multitude, he had to warn them against greed. Verse 24 of that same chapter. John 6 verse 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Underline that. Because you ate of the loaves and were filled. So they kept on following him, not for spiritual food, that is the words of life which he spoke, but because he gave them physical food. Now that is gluttony. So they missed the spiritual for the physical. Then he says, verse 27 of that same chapter, verse 27, do not labor for the food which perishes. Come on, underline that. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. Underline that, from there to life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. So he immediately takes the attention of physical food, which perishes, to the spiritual, which lasts forever. Okay? A believer who pursues physical things at the detriment of the spiritual is unwise. The world and everything in it will pass away. John says that. 1 John 2 verse 15. 1 John 2 verse 15 to 17. It says, do not love the world or worldliness, you can say, but the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away. Underline that. The world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So be careful of lust, okay? Especially for food. Now, Old Testament Israel is a classic example here. You find that one of the things that made them complain so much was food, right? They had seen God deliver them from plagues in Egypt. God opened the Red Sea. God granted them safety. And all because of food, they started doubting God. Can you imagine? Numbers 11 verse 4. Let's see that quickly. Numbers 11 4. And the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. Underline that. Yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept and said, who will give us meat to eat? Remember the fish that we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. You see that? So they began to doubt God. Why? Because of food. So food can have that kind of influence over your life if you don't watch it. Okay, it will soon take the place of God. Now we can learn from the four Hebrew boys in Daniel chapter 1. Let's see that. Daniel 1 verse 3. It says, then the king instructed Aspinas, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision. Underline that. A daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank. Underline that. From off to drink. And 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time, they might serve before the king. So he provided food for them, okay? And from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them, the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave to Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Ananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purported in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies. Underline that. From E to delicacies. Nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, why did Daniel do this? The food was usually offered first of all to idols. Do you follow that? Hence Daniel's reaction. I will not eat anything offered to idols. Remember, he's a Jew, right? Serving Yahweh, the true God. Now, you know, this takes discipline to do. Because the king in those days ate the best of the best. Okay? But Daniel said no to it. Verse 9 of that same chapter. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs, and the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king who has appointed your food and drink, for why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. So Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs has set over Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please, test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you and the appearance of the young men who eat the portions of the king's delicacies, and as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. So they were only eating vegetables and water while the others were feasting. Underline that. From day to feasting. I wrote in my note, Olonjeya. Amen? Gluttons. Okay? Verse 15. And at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better, hallelujah, and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus, the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. Come on. As for these young men, God gave them wisdom and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king interviewed them, and among them all none was found like Daniel, hallelujah, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they served before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better, hallelujah, than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all of his realm. So at the end of the day, those who sought to be spiritual ended up far better. Do you see that? Than those who sought to gratify their flesh. Now it's the same thing today. So you must learn to control your appetites. Be a spiritual man. Now in scripture, we find examples of people who let their uncontrolled appetites ruin their lives. Okay, so bullet points here. First of all, such a one is Reuben. Jacob's first son, Reuben, was disqualified from birthright because of his uncontrolled sexual lust. He slept with his father's wife. You find that Genesis 49, 3 to 4. Korah is another person. K-O-R-A-H. He was lustful for power. Numbers chapter 16. You find the story there. Another famous example, Samson. Okay, Samson's uncontrolled lust eventually led to his downfall. You find the story, Judges 14, 1 to 3, 17 to 18, Judges 16, 1, 4, 6, 18 to 21. Someone else here, King Solomon. Okay, King Solomon, his desire for women led him away from the Lord. 1 Kings 11, 1 to 11. King Saul. Saul, in his greed, spared livestock in the city of Amalek. 1 Samuel 15. Another one, Ananias and Sapphira. Okay? Ananias and Sapphira. In their greed, they kept back a part of the proceeds and lied about it. Their end was destruction. Acts 5, 1-10. So you must be careful of lust. Okay? Fasting helps us to overcome not only our lust for food, but also conditions our hearts to overcome all other forms of lust. So by fasting, we control our physical lust and inclinations. Now let's look at examples of people who fasted in the Bible. Okay? Examples of people who fasted in scripture. Now Moses fasted for 40 days twice. Deuteronomy 9 verse 9. Okay? Deuteronomy 9 verse 9. When I went up into the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant which the Lord made with you, then I stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water. Underline that. I neither ate bread nor drank water. Verse 18 of that same chapter. And I fell down before the Lord as at the first. Underline that. As at the first, 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water. Underline that. I neither ate bread nor drank water because of all your sin which you committed in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. You may see also Exodus chapter 34 verse 28 for that. Exodus 34 verse 28. The Israelites fasted on the Day of Atonement. Leviticus 23 verse 27. Also the 10th day of this Sabbath month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls. Underline that. You shall afflict your souls. What does that mean? Fast, right? Okay. And offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. Anna fasted because of her barrenness. 1 Samuel 1 verse 7. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Underline that. Did not eat. When the ark was returned and all Israel repented, they fasted at Mizpah while Samuel prayed for them. 1 Samuel 7, 5-6. 1 Samuel 7, 5-6. It says, and Samuel said, gather, O Israel, to Mizpah, and I'll pray to the Lord for you. So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water, and poured it before the Lord, and they fasted that day. Underline that. They fasted that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord, and Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. King David fasted for 7 days for his son. 2 Samuel 12, 16-20. David therefore pleaded with God for the child, and David fasted. Underline that. David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. So the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. Underline that, from not to them. Then on the seventh day it came to pass that the child died. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, indeed, while the child was alive, he spoke with him, and he would not listen to our voice. How can we then tell him that the child is dead? It may do some harm. When David saw that his servants were whispering, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said to his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. So David arose from the ground, washed, and anointed himself, and changed his clothes. And he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he went into his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him, and he ate. King David also fasted for Abner. 2 Samuel 3 verse 35. And when other people came to persuade David to eat food while it was day, David took an oath, saying, God do so to me and much more, if I taste bread or anything else till the sun goes down. The people of Jabesh Gilead fasted for 7 days after recovering the bodies of Saul and his sons from the Philistines. 1 Samuel 31 verse 13. It says, then they took their bones and buried them under the tamarisk tree at Jabesh, and fasted 7 days. Underline that, fasted 7 days. Elijah fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. 1 Kings 19:5-8. 1 Kings 19:5-8. Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and by his head was a keg baked on coals and a jar of water. Then he ate and drank and lay down. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights. And the line that 40 days and 40 nights, as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. 1 Kings 21 records a bad example of fasting. Okay, bad example here. Ahab fasted for Naboth's vineyard. 1 Kings 21 verse 4. It says, so Ahab went into his house sullen and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers. And he lay down on his bed and turned away his face and would not eat. Underline that, and would not eat. Jehoshaphat and the Jews fasted in 2 Chronicles 20 verse 3. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 3. And Jehoshaphat fed and set himself to seek the Lord. Underline that, to seek the Lord. So he wants to seek the Lord. What does he do? And proclaimed a fast. Underline that. Proclaimed the fast throughout all Judah. Ezra proclaimed the fast for the Jewish people in Ezra chapter 8, 21 to 23. Ezra 8:21-23. Then I proclaimed a fast there. Underline that. I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves. Underline, humble ourselves before our God, to seek from Him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. For I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the road, because we have spoken to the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon us all for good who seek Him. But his power and wrath are against all those who forsake him. So we fasted. Underline that, we fasted, entreated our God for this, and he answered our prayer. Nehemiah fasted for many days. Nehemiah 1:4. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. Underline that, for many days I was fasting. Underline that, I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. In Nehemiah 9, the children of Israel assembled with fasting. Nehemiah 9 verse 1. Now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting. Underline that, assembled with fasting, in sackcloth and with dust on their heads. Esther and the Jews fasted for 3 days. Esther 4 verse 16. Okay, it says, go, gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Underline that, fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. Underline that, from my to likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. Daniel fasted for 3 weeks. Daniel 10 verse 3. I ate no pleasant food. Underline that, I had no pleasant food, nor meat nor wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. The Ninevites fasted in repentance. Jonah 3:5-6. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed the fast, on the line that proclaimed the fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. King David often spoke of fasting in the Psalms. Psalm 35:13. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, underline that, from I to fasting, and my prayer would return to my own heart. Psalm 69:10. Similarly there, Psalm 69:10. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, underline chastened my soul with fasting, that became my reproach. Psalm 109:24. My knees were weak through fasting, underline from weak to fasting, and my flesh is feeble from a lack of fatness. Now, moving into the New Testament, some have said that fasting is an Old Testament practice. There is no such thing as fasting in the New Testament, okay? Interesting. Now, Jesus fasted for 40 days. How about that? Our Lord, amen? He fasted for 40 days. Luke 4:1-14, Matthew 4:1-11, you find that story there. Anna fasted and prayed, waiting for the Messiah. Luke 2:36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers. Underline that, fastings and prayers night and day. Saul fasted for 3 days, okay, Acts 9:9, and it was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Cornelius, an unsaved man, was found fasting and praying, okay, he's unsaved. Acts 10:30-31, so Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting, an unsaved man, underline that, I was fasting until this hour, and at the 9th hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms was remembered in the sight of God. Peter took time off food to pray. Acts 10:9-10. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the 6th hour. Verse 10 of that same chapter. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, on the line from eat to eat. And while they made ready, he fell into a trance. So he stayed off food for spiritual exercise to pray. The church at Antioch fasted. Acts 13:1-3. It says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manahen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, underline and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which you have called them. Then having fasted and prayed, underline that, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So in the process, they received divine direction. Paul and 276 people aboard a sinking ship fasted for about 14 days. Acts 21:14-35. Although this was out of fear for their lives, they didn't remember to eat because they were busy trying to save themselves. Okay, the ship was sinking. So Paul had to beg them to eat something. You find that verses 33-38 of that same chapter. And as the day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, today is the 14th day. You've waited and continued without food and eating nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment. For this is for your survival, since not an hair will fall from the head of any of you. And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all encouraged, and also took food themselves. And in all there were about 276 persons on the ship. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the weed into the sea. So technically speaking, this wasn't a fast in the spiritual sense, okay? Now Paul speaks of fasting in his epistles, 2 Corinthians 6 verse 5. 2 Corinthians 6 5, he says in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, underline that, in fastings. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 27. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 27. In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, underline that, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. So we can see that fasting is not an Old Testament practice. Is that clear so far? Okay, it is the culture of the church, fasting. In the church, we value God and His things so much so that we can stay off food temporarily to wait upon Him. Okay, so what is fasting? Fasting is a show of honor, okay, value and premium on the things of God, that we let go of food, hallelujah, we let go of necessaries to wait upon the Lord. Did you learn? Lift your hands, give Him praise, thank Him, we pick up from here.